Praise the Lord. Message tonight, training for our prophet. Hebrews chapter 12, 9 to 11. Scripture says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Trained for our profit. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church tonight. Let's read this again. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness, a life separated to the Lord. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Trained for our profit. Here's a question. If forgiven, why would God discipline us? If we're sons and daughters of God, why train us? I mean, we have all the privileges of God in Christ. We have more inheritance than we could ever use up in a lifetime. It's like a son or daughter born into a very wealthy family. They don't have to work another day in their life. Why not just enjoy the inheritance? Why not just revel in sins forgiven and what God has done for us? Why train us? Why discipline us? Well, can you imagine what we would be like if we were untrained? First in the natural, think about it. If we were untrained in the natural, and much more in the spiritual, our lives would sooner or later end in frustration. And besides, nobody appreciates an undisciplined child. An untrained child? Nobody appreciates an undisciplined child, not even the parents. Proverbs says a child left to itself brings its mother to shame. Child has a temper tantrum in the aisle at the grocery store. I want my Fruit Loops now. I can't wait. Nobody appreciates, for that matter, an untrained dog, but with a dog, at least you can muzzle it or leave it at home. Why train us? The Bible says, why does God want to train us? For our profit. For our profit. God isn't trying to punish us or make life hard on us or make us miserable. You know, their children growing up, they kind of chafe a little bit against the parents, against the instruction, against the training. They moan and groan a bit. But can you imagine what they would be, what our sons and daughters would be without training? Can you imagine what we would be as sons and daughters of God without training? We need foolishness trained out of us and profit trained into us. Foolishness out. Stubbornness, sinfulness, resistance to authority, bad attitudes. Foolishness out, prophet in, wisdom in, how to pray, how to worship, how to be well-mannered, how to be respectful, how to learn and grow and prosper in life. Wisdom must come in. But I don't want to go to school today. I don't feel like going to school. Can I stay home? And an unsuspecting or undiscerning parent, maybe a little soft and lenient. Okay, you can have the day off from school. A few days later, can I stay home from school? And the parent catches on real quick, and the gig is up. Do I have to go to church today? I don't feel like going to church today. Can I just stay home? Hebrews 5, 8 to 9. Speaking of Jesus, though he was a son, the very Son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. These are amazing words. Though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he went through, the things he underwent. There was a training in the life of Jesus. And because of that training and how he received it, the Bible says he was perfected in his training, in his calling, in his character, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. What a training. What a son. Now, Jesus was different than us. Jesus didn't need foolishness or sinfulness trained out of him. He did not have a sinful nature, a sin principle at work in us like we do. There was no waywardness in him, no rebellion, no resistance to authority, no independent spirit of pride. He didn't need foolishness trained out of him like we do, but he did need wisdom trained into him. He was like any one of us, set aside the sinful nature and our propensities toward that. But Jesus was like every one of us. He needed to be trained in life, taught manners, ethics, respect, how to guide himself, how to conduct himself. Luke 2, 51 to 52. Then Jesus went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He went down to, came to Nazareth and was subject to his parents. Obedience and submission. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus came through all the development like we do. He was like us in the earth, apart from the sinfulness. When the God of heaven came into this world in saving process, he slipped in so perfectly in the womb of Mary that the God of heaven didn't even know he'd come and who he was. He was a baby in a manger, and he had to grow up like the rest of us. Jesus had to be trained. He had to be taught what to say, what to speak, what to do, how to guide his life in wisdom. He was subject to his parents. At age 12, these are the verses that are spoken of him. I'm sure he said to his father many times, Joseph, what is wisdom here? Show me what to do. Show me the way. What's the best choice in my decisions? How can I guide my life in righteousness? You know, Jesus had to learn how to pray, just like we do. He had to learn personal hygiene, day-to-day life and activities, manners, speech, respect, upkeep of the house, the yard, the animals, off to school, off to synagogue. Jesus had to memorize scripture just like we do. He had to learn to study the Bible and the books of Moses and the Old Testament, just like we do. He had to apply himself to wisdom and understanding. He had to come through the years of adolescence. The Bible says he grew in stature. All the changes that take place in the body and all the emotions and different things that he might have felt like we do, he had to grow and rise. He had to learn an occupation. He took up the trade of his father Joseph, that of carpentry. Jesus had to think of it. He had to learn how to sharpen a saw and use a hammer. It just wasn't there automatically. There was a training. There was a process. He had to become a skilled carpenter. He had to tidy the floor of the shop, sweep up the sawdust, clean the ledges, take care of the finances, open the shop and close the shop at night. He had to be trained in natural and spiritual, and he became excellent in everything he did because he took the training. He took the training in a submissive and right way. What would we be without training in the natural? No skills. Can you imagine? No education, no occupation, a life adrift. How difficult. We need training in the natural. Our sons and daughters need to be trained in the natural, but much more in the spiritual. Can you imagine us without training in the spiritual? Immature, unlearned in the word and the doctrines of the Lord. No worship warriors, no prayer prophets, no gospel preachers, no intercessors, no gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives. Untrained. Misbehaved in the kingdom. Misbehaved in the house of the Lord. It's possible because the Bible says it clearly. 1 Timothy 3:14 to 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Apostle Paul said the believers need to know how to conduct themselves in the house of God, the church of the living God. Many believers today don't even know by scriptural definition what the house of God is. It's a free-for-all and come and go at will and whim. The pastor they have is the iPhone, IP, iPastor. I can get every pastor I want right here in 5 seconds. I can get every answer I want to any question of doctrine or any scripture, and I can get 5 different interpretations within 2 minutes. iPastor. Well, that is very beneficial, that iPhone. But it is no replacement for the ordinance of the Lord when he said, I want my people gathered together, and they need to be under elders, and there need to be deacons, and there needs to be structure, and the people need to be built together in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what we would be like if we were untrained? What our churches would be like if there was no training? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Luke 2:40 says of Jesus, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. Strong in spirit. Spiritual child. Prayerful, worshipful, zealous for God and his house. The child became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, natural wisdom, spiritual wisdom. This child knew the word of God, began to learn the word of God, and the grace, the favor of God was upon him. This child was trained, this child Jesus, because of his spirit, his submission, was trained so beautifully, so perfectly by his parents and by God the Father. Listen what it says in Luke 3:21 to 22. Jesus, at 30 years of age, When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." 30 years of age. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The number 30 in the Bible is the number of full stature, full measure, maturity. Jesus was 30 years of age, standing in full maturity as a Son of God, trained, developed, filled with wisdom, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Scriptures, filled with purpose, filled with excellence. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Joseph rose up at 30 years of age to rule Egypt, perfected, trained by the Holy Spirit. All that he went through, learning, training, experience, excellence. David was 30 years old when he began to reign over the kingdom of Judah. The Levites stepped into their full ministry in the Old Testament, the priesthood, and the Levites at 30 years of age to serve God with full understanding, full heart. They could bear the tabernacle. They could pray the prayers of righteous men. They could handle the offerings and the sacrifices of the Lord. They knew how to conduct themselves in the house of God, the number 30. John Baptist was 30 years of age when the Spirit led him out into the wilderness to begin to preach, come out of the wilderness and begin to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was 30 years of age. How beautifully he was trained. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher. How many disciples do we have here tonight? Disciples, followers of Jesus. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher, Jesus. Pray like Jesus prays, walk like Jesus walks, talk like Jesus talks, acts like Jesus acts. Excellence in all departments and forms of life, upkeep and duty and maintenance, a perfection upon a person's life. He that is perfectly trained will be like his teacher, Jesus. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to behold people that are perfectly trained? A musician. No mistakes. Hands on the keyboard and fretboard, no mistakes. That's the music you want to buy. An artist, no smudges, no brush strokes that don't make sense. Perfect artistry, perfect painting. Wow, it's beautiful to hold. Behold those who are perfectly trained. An athlete that is perfectly trained. You want to hire a carpenter for finishing work that is perfectly trained. An architect, perfectly trained. An actor, perfectly trained. A doctor, perfectly trained. How about a Christian, perfectly trained? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Well, you know, there's a chapter in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. It's the faith chapter, a list of the many, many, many that aren't named heroes of the faith. You say, "Oh, I want to be a hero of the faith. I want to be used of God." Well, all you have to do is turn the page into Hebrews chapter 12, because it goes right into training for a prophet. But it begins this way: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," these heroes of the faith of the Old Testament, Abraham and Jacob and Noah and Daniel and righteous men and women, "since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of spiritual heroes, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But first it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us look unto Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight. If we're going to be heroes of faith, if we're going to be perfectly trained, we're going to have to lay aside weights, encumbrances, unprofitable things, things that really are a waste of time for a Christian that wants to become excellent in God, in their gifting and calling. Stature and character. The Bible says, lay aside every weight. Maybe there's some things tonight and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. You're just spending way too much time on that. We're not talking about legitimate recreation or rest. We're talking about wasteful things that don't gain us anything as men and women of God. There's no development in them. They're actually a hindrance to our Christian life. Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you, so easily ensnare you. What is that sin that so easily ensnares us? What is the Bible talking about? It's talking about our human struggle. The besetting sin, or the Greek says the sin that surrounds us, that environs us round about. It's called our human struggle. With ourselves. Lay aside the sin. We struggle sometimes. We don't feel we're as spiritual as we want to be, and our emotions are down, and our will is a little out of alignment. That is the besetting sin. The Bible says, lay that besetting sin aside. It's not talking about some overt sin. You know, that every 3 or 4 months, well, I just go and commit adultery. That's my besetting sin. That's ridiculous of an interpretation. Well, every few weeks I just go and get drunk. That's my besetting sin, I guess. This is a foolish interpretation. He's not talking about those. Those sins are under the blood. Those things should be out of the Christian's life altogether. He's talking about a besetting sin, that frailty we feel, that human struggle, that sin principle and nature that works in us. He said, learn to lay that aside because that'll hinder you. We have to come against our emotions, against our feelings, against those pulls and struggles that come into us, tension and anxiety and fears and stress. That's what he's talking about. He said, lay aside every weight, unprofitable things. Lay aside that besetting sin. Learn how to get victory in your own personality over yourself. And look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep looking unto Jesus. Lord, you said, follow me. And so, Lord, every day, all day, I need to follow you. How to speak, how to act, how to conduct myself, my work ethic, my disciplines, my order, my speech, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Matthew 14, keep looking unto Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on him. Let's have the worship ministry return. Matthew 14, 28 to 31, listen, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep looking to him all day long. Every day, keep your eyes on the Lord. Peter was walking on the water. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The minute we take our eyes off Jesus, how quickly we can sink. Sometimes it's like Peter, a few seconds. What is going on with me? How quickly, when we get our eyes off Jesus, can we begin to sink, to look around and, my, we're overwhelmed by how terrible things are, how impossible things are. But when we have our eyes on Jesus, we walk on water. Listen, we live a miracle life. We walk where other men and women cannot walk. We walk in a supernatural realm. We walk above boisterous seas. We walk above winds and waves. We walk above the power and temptation of the enemy. But when we get our eyes off Jesus, how quickly we can succumb to the elements, to the circumstances, to the emotions, the feelings around us. Like Peter, let's cry out, Jesus, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Said, Peter, let's walk together on the water. Oh, Peter, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you get so anxious and so concerned about the circumstances about you and the winds and the economies and the situations that you really can't control? You just walk with me. You keep your eyes on me. I'll walk you on the water. I'll walk you out on a miracle life. Jesus said, let's walk in faith. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's walk in victory. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. If we ask him, he will train us. If we ask him, he will train us. How far do you want to be trained? How much do you want to be trained? Some people are on the job site and, my, they're difficult to train. They only want a little training. And it's like they're a drag on the system. Because those that are perfectly trained are quick to the job and they're excellent at their work and they enjoy what they're doing because there's a perfection in it. Because there's a perfection in it. When you're good at something, you enjoy it. And when you're not very good, it's not a lot of fun. Let's be honest. Sports, academics, if you're not very good at something, my, there's not much joy. And that's why God wants to train us perfectly. So we walk with him, we're spiritual, we're alive, we're increased in wisdom and stature, we know how to pray, we know how to worship, we know how to celebrate the goodness of the Lord, we know how to quote scripture, we know how to fight the good fight of faith. If we let him, he will train us. Let's ask him to train us. Every day, all day. Trained for our profit. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and offer ourselves to the Lord. Come on, we know it. We live in loose times. Many people are playing loose with the house of God and spiritual things, dabbling here a little, there a little. How many in your heart, I want to be perfectly trained. I want to be like my Lord. I want to walk with him. Listen, if there's any adjustment that needs to be made in your heart or in your home tonight, train up a child in the way they should go. But I don't want to go to church tonight. But I don't like the youth department that much. But I don't feel accepted in the children's classroom. And on it goes. But those who are wise know what's going on. The Bible says the rod of correction will train up a child, not the rod of punishment, not the rod of cruelty, the rod of correction. Instruction, discipline, narrowing in so a child is trained properly and Christians are trained properly and we walk out our days in the excellence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's yield ourselves to the Lord tonight. The altars are open if you'd like prayer or want to consecrate yourself to the Lord. Just give yourself fully to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Open up your spirit and pour out rivers of living water. Pour out praises. Pour out adoration. Pour out willingness and sincerity and love on God. Give Him everything you can. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trained for our profit, Lord.